Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. Mike, Ali, Bo. This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. A lot of fun conversation. We're going to get to the Atlanta Falcons and the starters, potential position battles on defense, and really throughout the team. Still having a couple conversations in the break. I was like, you know, I'm trying to think. We talked about could 100 Atlanta Falcons take on a gorilla? And I think that, like, and Bo brought it up. He's like, I don't think 100 Bows, but if I had 100 Mics. And I'm like, you know, like, I think a good in between, like, could 100 Dylons take on a gorilla? And Dylon was like, absolutely not, dude.
Yeah, we're all, no? we will perish. We will perish.
And he brought up a good point, though. Like, if you had 100 or just, like, you know, 50, whatever, like, the first guy's going to have to take an L. You know what
well,
I mean?
Yeah, you know
the
that
The first
going
guy,
in.
Like whoever it is, like, and if it's 100 of the same people, y'all are all going to be looking at each other going, nah, dog, it's you.
It's you. It's you.
You know who this question is perfect for is Abe. Because Abe Gordon would be like,
he'd be so matter of fact about it.
Well, he'd be like, well, it's not really that hard. I mean, all you got to do is figure out the pressure points of the gorilla, and, you know, they've got a weak spot. And all you got to do is find that and exploit it. I mean, that's what
that's
Abe
that
would
pressure points. Hey, that's so on brand, though. Abe it would is. Definitely say something
Abe
like
would
that.
Be like, this is very simple, dude. Just yeah. run around in a circle until the gorilla wears out, and then, you know, then you can just do whatever you want
yes,
with him when he's exhausted.
Because only Abe Gordon thinks he's got more cardio than an animal in survival mode. I mean, you know, it's just like it's just. But that's Abe. That's
is,
why
man.
We love him.
Why
that's
we love
our
him,
guy.
Dude. That's why we love him. Look, man, we also invited wake up calls. That'll be coming up at 8 o'clock today because we're talking about Tyrese Halliburton's dad and Giannis going face to face after the game last night, and want to hear from you guys 404-726-0929 about a time that you as a parent overstepped or that maybe your own father or mother overstepped. I had to tell Allie this morning about the story about my mom requesting a meeting with Nick Saban.
Well, I think you should tell our audience because I don't know if a lot of our audience remember.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've told
you know,
it a couple times on here, but essentially what happened is I was recruited under Mike Shula. You know, when you go through recruiting, like they come and eat dinner at your house and all that. So my parents knew Mike Shula. And when Nick Saban was hired at Alabama, my mom just straight up was like, I don't know this dude. And I'm like, you know, I don't either. You know, like he's being hired here. Nobody knows him. So about a month into his tenure, we're going through like the fourth quarter program and all that stuff. My mom just straight up called me one day and she was like, hey, I felt bad that I didn't tell you, but I'm in Tuscaloosa. And I was like, why are you in Tuscaloosa? I'm actually sitting in Coach Saban's waiting room. I have a meeting with him.
Oh, my goodness.
Do what? What? I was like, no, you don't. No, you don't have a meeting with Coach Saban. She's like, yeah, I'm going. As a matter of fact, I think the door's opening right now. The joke was on her because he had this little button that closed the door behind people when they walked into his office because his office was really long. And she was like, I think my mom is an alpha person, but she was alarmed in that moment. She was like, dude, he's intense. I was like, yeah. He came at me later and he goes, man, I was really happy because I thought you were coming. I thought you were going to be in the meeting. And I thought you were going to tell me you were transferring. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, he's like, I've watched your tape. Think you're a good player. And I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, I'm so sorry that she did that. And he just straight up looked at me as he's walking away. And he goes, it's all good, man. We all have moms.
Aww.
I know. And I was like, oh, thank God. That was like the first time I'd ever had a personal conversation with Coach Saban.
What sweet intentions your mom had there, but I mean, dude. Very jarring
definitely
to hear that.
Her back.
Very jarring to hear that she's in Nick Saban's
yeah.
office.
Anyways, so we want to hear from you guys 404-726-0929, or you can tweet at us at 929 Morning Shift. Let us know a time that your parents overstepped their bounds. Look, there's some more parents that'll be coming into the fray here because we got to talk about the UDFAs, the rookie class. As it were, for the Atlanta Falcons in some of the possible position battles, sure. I don't even know because there's no like incumbent starter at strong safety, right? So you're going to call it a position battle because it's like we talked about earlier. You know, you've got DeMarco Helms, you've got, I'm drawing a blank. Oh, Jordan Fuller
Jordan
is
Fuller.
His name. Yeah, and Xavier Watts will be battling that out. I'm not ready, Bo, to say that Xavier Watts is your week one starter. I know that there's a lot of upside, but I feel like we set ourselves up for this every year. We're like, this guy's going to be a dog. And then it's like, all right, dude, then you got to kind of come back to earth during training camp where you're like, all right, this guy is swimming in the ocean right now of information, and it's hard to pick up. But I think everybody will have that one penciled in as far as Xavier Watts. I think that it'll be a Billy Bowman versus D. Alford and Clark Phillips, obviously, in a number of those situations will have to play out during training camp.
Yeah, the Billy Bowman thing is one I'm really looking at. That's one I wanted to go to because he does have experience playing in that nickel spot, right? He has experience. He has the ability. And D. Alford, while good early last season, was a big drop-off late. I saw a stat late, I think at the end of the season, where it was something like guys are completing like 65% of their passes against him or some crazy number. And Clark Phillips, I'm a huge Clark Phillips guy. Love his attitude. Love the way he plays. I think he'd be a good player. But I don't know really what he is. I don't know if he's a nickel. I don't know if he's an outside guy. I'm just not sure where. I think he has a spot in the league. I just don't know where it is right now. And so there's no doubt to me that that's a completely open position. That's why I said earlier about the Xavier Watts, Jordan Fuller thing, and obviously DeMarco Helms coming back. But that one to me, that's why I wasn't a big fan of. I don't think Nick Nash is coming in here trying to take the third receiver or fourth receiver spot, however you want to hash it out, away from Kadarius Hodge.
Yeah.
I think Nick Nash is coming in here just to make the freaking team.
I was going to say, I would argue that those two guys aren't even battling one another. And I know that they play the same position, in theory, but I would make the argument that Kadarius Hodge is as solidified as you can get. I mean, look, and we're going to have this conversation as well about where D'Angelo Malone sits now that you've drafted a couple edge rushers, and obviously, you know, he's been that guy. But I think that when you look at all these situations surrounding these guys, there are just people entrenched because of special teams. And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, man. It's just these guys are all, to a point, they're very talented. And I would say this about Clark Phillips. Reading the tea leaves tells me that when you draft a guy that you think can be a nickel and Billy Bowman, and you sign back Mike Hughes and you bring back D. Alford, like, you need a lot of them, but Clark Phillips, I think, is facing an uphill climb as well. So
I think D. Alford's actually the uphill climb. I think it's D. Alford because I think it's easier to, you know, Clark Phillips, you drafted, this is year three. What was he, like a fifth-round pick, I think, or something? I need to double check. I actually think Clark Phillips has got a little bit of an up just because you drafted him. You've put that in. You know, I know that that D. Alford's been here and he's been a starter, but to me, he faltered late. I just think it might be a little bit tougher for him because of the money. It's a fourth-round pick for Clark Phillips.
Well, and these rookies that are coming in, I'm so curious. They're about to go through such a whirlwind. And go with me on this. It cracks me up when you're at Ameris Bank Amphitheater and you've got Luke Bryan there going, "What's up, Atlanta?" And you're thinking, we're in Alpharetta.
So
this is not. So on that note, when do you think these guys realize, like, okay, I'm an Atlanta Falcon, and then find themselves in Flowery Branch, like, wait, this is a little bit different than what I was expecting.
You know, and this goes back to a conversation. You guys made me feel like an outsider yesterday.
You are.
And you guys were just like, you know, we're all from Atlanta. Are you? You know what I mean? Like, are we calling Dallas, Georgia? Is that, you know what I mean? Like, are we really going there? I'm not picking that fight right now because we'll have that conversation later. But I agree with you. Like, the first time, Allie, that I came on, I guess it was, I don't know if it was called a top 30 visit. I think it's just now called a top 30 visit. But I came on a visit to the Atlanta Falcons. And straight up, like, myself, my teammate, Rolana McClain, and then eventual Falcons draft pick that year, Shan Schillinger, we all got picked up at the same time by, you know, one of the, I don't even know what he was called at that point. And he's like, "Hey, if you want to fall asleep in the van, you got at least an hour until we get where we're going." Yep. And I'm like, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "Yeah, we're going up to Lake Lanier." And I'm like immediately on my phone going, "Where's Lake Lanier?" You know? And I think I was only like maybe a year into an iPhone at that point, you know, because this is like March or February of 2010. But it's such a good point. Like, these guys are sitting there going, "Oh, yeah, going to Atlanta. Wait, what? Where? What? What?"
I'm going to push back on Allie a little bit because I do consider, if you're in Alpharetta, you can say, "What's up, Atlanta?" Because most of the people are coming. It's the metro area, okay? Now, Flowery Branch is a little bit different because that is way up there.
Which one is farther from Atlanta, Flowery Branch or Dallas?
Dallas.
I would say technically probably Flowery Branch, but it's a lot easier to get to Flowery Branch.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mileage-wise, I'm going to say Flowery Branch.
As the crow flies, you're saying.
Because, all right.
Good question.
There's an express lane to Flowery Branch. So.
No. But that's my point.
That's a good point.
Time-wise, yes. But mileage-wise, I believe Dallas is closer.
And I was telling Allie earlier, we were having this conversation about what it's like to be a rookie going up there. And a lot of these guys fly in from wherever they're from because they're coming to rookie mini camp or whatever in the next couple of weeks. And you'll come in, you'll be from California, right? And they'll run a shuttle. And I don't think they stay up at Lake Lanier Islands anymore like we used to. But they'll run a shuttle and they'll bring you up to Flower Branch. The problem is, like, everything gets disjointed and you start meeting people. I can't tell you how many times that I would drive guys, Kerry Meyer, Shan Schillinger, Joe Holly. I would drive guys to the Doraville MARTA station and just, like, drop them off. And they'd be like, all right, man, like, you know, hey, you got to get out of the car here. But to your point about the express lane, like, now that's a Peach Pass. But when I first got to Flower Branch, that was still an HOV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think a couple of years in, maybe it's like 2012 or 2013, that becomes a Peach Pass. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, this works.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Right now, Dallas, Georgia to Mercedes-Benz Stadium is 1 hour, 10 minutes. It's 32.4 miles.
Okay. And that's traffic included, but yes.
Yeah, I know. I know because yeah, right I'm doing now. It for both. Right you. Now, from 4401 Falcon Parkway, which is the facility,
yes,
to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, it is 1 hour and 29 minutes. It's 44.7 miles.
Okay.
So
what was the mileage of Dallas?
32.4.
Okay, wow.
So Allie's right. If you regular day, it's going to be quicker to go to Flowery Branch because of the express lane.
Thank you.
But mileage-wise, Dallas, Georgia, be closer.
look how honored this man is.
Just saying. Like,
but I love that these guys are coming in and they're like, okay, the biggest battle I've got is this position battle. No. Your biggest battle is getting from the airport to Flowery Branch.
Such a good point. It's such a fair point.
And it is figuring out where to live, Allie, because you're telling your friends back home, hey, man, you're living in Atlanta. I heard that's a cool city. Yeah, dude, I live in, like, Buford.
It was so – dude, and I came here. I obviously was friends with John Parker Wilson, who was my college quarterback, and got here a year before me. So he had an apartment in Buford. And he was like, yeah, you can stay with me the night before, rookie camp if you want to. I'm like, all right. And I get to Buford, and I'm like, where are we at? The funny thing is, like, at one point, I think there was, like, 18 members of the Atlanta Falcons at this one apartment complex. Straight up, like, 18. Like, Julio was one of them. Like, it was just like, where are we at? Oh, well, I just get an apartment up here in Buford, man, right across the Mall of Georgia. A lot of fun conversation, man. Love that stuff. Shout out to everybody that might be listening in Dallas, Georgia, man, or Flowery Branch or wherever you're at on a day like today. Thank you for listening and hanging out with us. A lot of fun. We come back. We're going to go in the huddle. We're going to talk about the NFL. The ratings for the NFL draft, and obviously everybody was glued to Shedeur Sanders and the saga that was, are through the roof. Make sure you stick with us here on the Morning Shift. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on a Wednesday morning. Nice day outside, or maybe should be. It was not. It was kind of ugly yesterday. Look, I got a text
from
my mom.
Where were you at? Huh. It was great yesterday.
No, it was ugly for me. When I went and ran yesterday down by the river, it was just like it started sprinkling on me. It was overcast.
By the river.
Yeah, by the river. I got a text from my mom, and she's like, I never overstepped my bounds. And I'm like, oh, God, she was listening to that. It's always a humbling thing when your mom just texts you. It's like
I agree with your mom. She did not overstep her bounds at all. I think you were just scared.
She wasn't in Halliburton mode?
No, not at all. No, not even close. She was looking out for her child. And she was hoping, she was doing you a favor. She was making sure you could handle seven.
You're probably right. If you're just now joining us, we were talking about, and that'll be the wake-up call today, 404-726-09, coming up at 8 o'clock. Has your parents, or did you as a parent, overstep your bounds the way Mr. Halliburton did yesterday, to the point where his own son was like, yeah, bad move, not a good look. I got to tell you guys now, Allie hit me with one during the break that I was like, dude, we got to talk about this on air. Allie, please take it away.
I will. I should have said this earlier when you were talking about your mom
so
calling
good.
A meeting with Nick Saban so because, good. You know, moms are just proud.
Yeah.
And my mom is...
It's like Coach Saban said, we all have moms.
We all have moms. My mom is very proud, too. And when I was, you know, just a little traffic reporter and I got to be on air 15 seconds at a time...
Yes.
She decided she needed to tell my boss that I needed to be on air more. And she's not wrong. I should have been on air more. But she, yeah, send an email.
Can you imagine, like, if we're talking about a situation where, Dylon's not even a good example, but just somebody else at the station's mom, like, you know, emailing Rick Caffey and Mike Conti being like, hey, Sorry to bother you, but it's a little bit ridiculous. Need a little more airtime for my baby girl.
I mean,
the level of embarrassment. Dude,
but she was not wrong. I should have been standing up for myself a little bit more and getting there more some airtime.
How long had you been at the job you were at?
Probably 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Makes it a little more acceptable.
Yes.
A little more acceptable. Yeah. It's still
at that point, Mama Mac was just standing on business.
Yeah. Thank you. She was.
Y'all haven't recognized yet.
I'm glad my mom never did that. I mean, not knock him, but I mean, I've been here so long, she probably could have done the same thing. It'd have been like, ma'am, I don't think he has the voice for it.
Little Squid Billy has got to get on the air.
It would not have been written that way. Trust me.
Allie's, look, and she'll come to us. We did Fair Foul last year on Mother's Day with my mom and Squid's mom, and it was electric radio.
Really?
Electric radio.
We got to find that.
Between the two of them. Yeah, so that'll be a lot of fun. We'll obviously have that. We got Mother's Day coming up. Hope you guys bought gifts. I made arrangements for my wife. She essentially, her and her neighborhood friends were like, hey, this is what y'all are going to buy us. Make the appointment today. Like facials and stuff. I was like, all right, that's fair enough for me. yeah, take it out of my hands.
Easy.
Don't have to make any decisions. And then it was easy because I just texted my buddies in the neighborhood. I was like, hey, I have been warned that this is what they are going to be doing. So we're just all going to get together and hang out and have beers while they're doing that. Anyways, Dylan, let's go in the huddle. Have you guys seen this news? I guess he's new Carolina Panthers wide receiver, former Clemson walk-on, former Las Vegas Raider, Hunter Renfrow, making a comeback to the NFL. Everybody had questions. Did he retire? Did he not retire? Took last year off. Well, turns out he had ulcerative colitis. Says he got all the way down to 150 pounds last year and really battled, severe sickness and everything else. So there's your answer, Bo. We were talking about this the other day. It's like, he's tweeting out, I didn't know I ever retired. Took a year off. And I'm trying to think, we've seen situations where guys have had injuries. I don't know that we've ever had, a situation. I know that it wasn't who was it, the Texans wide receiver, Bama guy that had cancer, I think, took a year off. But nonetheless, man, happy to see Hunter Renfrow back in the fold. Hopefully he doesn't do too much damage because my squads don't have great track history against Hunter Renfrow. So we'll see what happens.
This kind of reminds me of when Brock Lesnar was fighting in UFC and he had the similar stomach disease.
Okay.
But it starts with a D and it's really hard to pronounce.
Diverticulitis?
Yes, that. but this ulcerative colitis is very similar in a lot of ways where, yeah. You can develop colon cancer out of it. I mean, there's some nasty things, but, it basically, it's inflammation in the digestive tract. He said he lost all the way down to like 150 pounds.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Minnesota quarterback situation. So earlier this week, Sam Howell was traded. It sounds like they're getting their offseason program up and running, and J.J. McCarthy was asked, man, hey, you ready for this?
I know I'm ready to start because all the work I put in and just the confidence in my skills and abilities, I have a tremendous coaching staff, a tremendous group of guys around me that I can lean on, and they can lean on me.
This reminds me of the Andrew Whitworth cut that we played a couple of months ago where he's admitting that he was watching the preseason game and watching a little tape, and he decided, oh, this guy's good. I'm going to text the head coach, his buddy, Kevin O'Connell. He's like, I'm going to text Kevin and say, man, this kid's going to be really good. And he's like, as I fire the text off, I look up and I see the news breaking that he's having knee surgery and his season is over. And he was like, oh, God. I literally just said, man, kid's a game changer. You guys got so lucky with this guy in the draft. And then he's out. But, I think the door probably closes on any Kirk Cousins situation. And I do. Watching just the small amount of tape Bo we had on him last year, he looks like he's ready to rock and roll.
Imagine if McCarthy turns into that guy. And you have McCarthy, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, and then maybe Caleb Williams.
Maybe Caleb Williams.
Also, have you seen, dude, the Bears offseason is kind of getting slept on. They got Loveland. They've already got Cole Kmet. They got Luther Burden to add to that to go along with DJ Moore. I mean,
you hadn't even brought up Drew Dahlman and Grady Jarrett. Those are, yeah.
Yeah, but talk about offense, too. I mean, I'm just talking about offense alone. Yeah. I mean, they have, and there's talk that they might be on Nick Chubb. They have done a really good job in Chicago, and you got to give it the Ben Johnson effect because these are guys that, they don't forget they got Joe Tunney, the offensive lineman, to help. They've rebuilt. that offense and added to a few places they didn't need. I think Luther Burden, you know, you might be talking about him. And I'm not going to say he's going to be Justin Jefferson or something like that, but I think he's going to be a top 15 receiver in the league by, you know, in 2 years from now. So they have added. Now Caleb Williams has got to step up too now, Mike. Yeah. He's got to play on
the
schedule.
Stop taking sacks, Caleb. Stop taking sacks.
Yeah, get rid of that ball.
Yeah, get the pill out of there. Quit burping the baby like Bo's been doing the last week or so. All right, let's talk about the Shedeur Sanders stuff. Obviously, it's been a week filled with Shedeur Sanders topics. The average viewers, the drop that Shedeur Sanders, the average viewers for the NFL draft, just 7.5 million viewers per day. Second most watched draft on record. Just insane numbers. 43% increase over 2024. Thank you, Shedeur. I think if you're ESPN, guys, like just straight up, like your fall was, it stunk, but man, those ratings are through the roof.
Well, and I do have a question about that because I heard Sandra yesterday on the Steakhouse talking about how we're all talking about Shedeur, right? We're not talking about Cam Ward.
Yeah.
And I agree with her. We should be talking about him more, but is this maybe the best gift ever for Cam Ward? He gets to just settle in.
Oh, dude, that's such a good point.
He gets to get away from the craziness.
Such a good
point.
It's
all on Shedeur. He can just chill.
Yeah, because, and we just, and in the same breath, we just finished talking about Caleb Williams needs to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Caleb Williams, hey, can't take all the sacks. Everything's on your shoulders. You're so right. Because Cam Ward's situation, Bo, is not nearly as good as what Caleb Williams walked into. Let's just be honest about it.
Well, I think Cam Ward's is better than you think, too, though. He's got some players with him, and he's got a little – they're trying to build an offense around him, too. But, you know, they're already down there. They're already saying, well, you know, it's going to be Cam Ward's got to come in and compete for the job with Will Levis. And that's cool. That's fine. Maybe he does. But I think Allie's got a good point. I think it does take some heat off of Cam Ward, because he was really the guy in this draft. And you know, I hear people disrespect Dylan Gabriel. Like, well, Shador's just, he's already head and shoulders better than Dylan Gabriel. I'm not the biggest Dylan Gabriel fan. Guy's got a better arm, and he played in a college football playoff. He played for the number one team in the country last year, and he was one of the differences in that team. He was the reason that team was in the playoff last year. He made the difference of him there, and whatever you want to think about Bo Nix, and I'm not a Bo Nix hater. I like Bo Nix, but Gabriel jumped in and helped make that team to a Big Ten title. He's not a bum, you know? And neither one of them might be starting quarterbacks, or they both might be. But to think that it's just Flacco and Shedeur competing for the job in Cleveland is a little bit obtuse, and you're doing some of the – when you do those things, you're doing the exact things that you claim the NFL teams did to Shedeur.
Yeah. All right, we got to go to break, unfortunately, man. We could talk about this, I feel like, until we're blue in the face. Reminder, wake-up call will be coming up at 8 o'clock today. We'll be talking about parents overstepping their boundaries. Mom, do not text me again. I don't need to hear it. All right, just straight up, don't text me. We come back, though, we're going to talk about the Atlanta Braves facing off with the Bad News Bears, the Colorado Rockies. We'll also, Allie Mack is going to make her debut hosting Which One Wednesday. You do not want to miss that, I promise. Me and Bo are about to square up. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game. Welcome back in. It's the Morning Shift. Mike, Allie, Squid Billy, Dylon, man, having a great time here on Wednesday morning. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you're in your car and you're on the dial, shout out. Thank you so much. When you get done with that ride in, throw us on the Odyssey app. Take us inside of the office. Make sure all your coworkers can hear the domination that Squid is about to feel in Which One Wednesday.
I was about to say, one of us won't be having a great time in about 10 minutes here, and it ain't Squid. Squid is still going to be having a good time because he's the all-time wins leader.
We are back whole, obviously, so it'll be Allie hosting. Dylan will be on the judgment. Pause.
What does that even mean?
Well, there's four of us again. There was only three last week, so we couldn't do a judge. We had to have a host and two people playing. So, anyways, man, thank you so much for listening to us. We will do a wake-up call coming up at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock, 404-726-0929, or you can hit us at 929 Morning Shift. It's, you know, a couple things we've talked about today. A time that your parent has overstepped their bounds, or you as a parent overstepped your bounds. Also, the Atlanta Falcons rookies. Which rookie, other than Jalen Walker, do you expect to be a starter come week one of the NFL season? There's a couple of names. I know Xavier Watts is hot. I don't think you can pencil in James Pierce just yet. I don't know if he beats out a couple of the other people if we're talking about Jalen Walker being one of those pass rushers. So that'll be interesting to kind of talk about in the wake-up call.
I don't think it matters. The James Pierce beating anybody out. I think defensive linemen to me are rotational guys. Sure. They rotate. They're going to be. He's going to be in against packages.
Yeah.
I'm more worried. Well, he'll be in against small packages.
Big pause. Anyway.
Because of the personnel, that probably means it's a pass rush situation. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's going to be like third and one. They're like, all right, put Pierce in. You know?
Yeah. I'm with you on that one. Real quick, let's hit the Braves because we're going to get some mic'd up in just one second, man. And I tease it. I kid a little bit about the Bad News Bears that are the Colorado Rockies, but I think even Rockies fans would probably agree with that. That game was hard to watch at times yesterday. Their defense is so bad. Like the near collision in the outfield, the overthrows, the just simple mistakes. I'm like, golly, man. I felt bad for their starting pitcher yesterday, watching him, because you could just tell he was like, dude, just take me out of the game. Ends up giving up 7 earned. And only because one of those gappers just fell between 2 outfielders that were scared to hit each other, and you can't give either one of them the error. It was hard to watch.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for him.
I'm shocked by that.
No, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I mean, we started the season 0-7 and couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, I can't feel sorry.
You don't feel sorry for them in terms of just being a Braves fan, yes, but just as a normal sports enthusiast, I'm watching it going, that team's in a bad spot.
I mean, be like, better.
We can commiserate as fans of the Falcons and the Hawks. We can commiserate, I think.
It's rough because you know they're good. That team is not – collectively, that team is bad.
Yeah.
But in reality, there's a bunch of players on that team that are Major League Baseball players who either are young or are a little bit old in the tooth, and combination of all these things, and collectively, they're not good together. But you add them somewhere else, and they could be a key cog in a good team, right? And that's kind of how it goes. You know, if we Orlando Arcia is a perfect example. He was a guy that was people were sold on. He comes here. He has an all-star year.
Yeah.
And now he's back to looking like he plays on the Rockies. But that neither here nor there. I think about this though. The Braves play what 3 o'clock today? I think they got Chris Sale.
3:10. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They have a chance to go 5-1 on this road trip. 5-1. They have a chance to do that. And I don't think anyone, when they left, was like, yeah, I think they'll go 5-1 on a road trip that includes the Diamondbacks. I mean, not after they started the last West Coast road trip. They were 0-7.
Yeah.
So it could be a great thing.
You could head into May at 15-15. And somewhere out there listening probably right now is Grant McCauley just laughing at me and the panic that I had that set in 3 weeks ago when I was like, dude, it's just not a playoff team the way it's built. It's just not. We even had John Smoltz on the air, and I'm like, John, there's just flaws in the way this team is built from top to bottom. And John's agreeing. He's going, yeah, I don't know. In Major League Baseball, somebody agreed in a front office somewhere that it was okay to just strike out or hit home runs. And when you're not hitting home runs the way the Braves have not done, and this is, of course, 2 weeks into the season, he's like, look, it's just a flawed team. And yet here we are. And yet you have a great chance, a phenomenal chance to pull back even at 15-15 headed into the month of May. I did not think it was remotely possible. They have changed a little bit of what they do. They're hitting the contact right now. Their starting pitching has definitely stepped up to the plate, and they've played lesser competition. But 15 going back into a Dodgers series is massive.
Have they really played less? I mean, when they played the Twins were, I think, a little over 500 to right around it, and they swept them. You know,
yeah.
The Rockies have been lesser, but the Diamondbacks weren't lesser competition. I mean, you know, it's not like this team has just played nothing but the worst, you know, bums. I mean, they've played competition. You know, they played the Cardinals are not great, but they're also not terrible. You know, they've played the teams in front of them, but they also started out with two of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, they did.
And I think Tim Hyers deserves some credit. That's the guy that's getting lost. We all were crapping all over this guy when the team was not hitting, but now that the team's hitting, we just stopped talking about him.
Yeah. We did well, and you know the
and I say we, I mean collective fan base media.
I think we're fine on Tim Hyers on this show. Anyways, yeah, you'll get Chris Sale tonight facing off with Chase Dolander. That'll be at 3:10. Make sure you plug in. The Braves will get tomorrow off for a huge weekend series against the Dodgers. I'm sure that Truist will be rocking. Dylon. Reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Cafe, come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Dylon will be judging once again today and making her debut as the host of Which One Wednesday will be Miss Allie Mack. Allie, take it away.
All right, we've got some good questions today. We have been having the debate of 100 men versus one gorilla. So to stay on theme, so good, which one would win? One Squidbilly with unlimited Home Depot access or a swarm of 10,000 bees?
Dude, this is so good. Which one of us goes first, Allie? You got to tell us. Somebody's got a lead here.
Let Squidbilly fire
all
this
right,
one off.
Squidbilly, go for it. Unlimited access to Home Depot. How many bees was it?
10,000.
10,000 bees.
Well, I'm going to say me because I'm going to get a blaze torch from Home Depot. The flame king.
Yeah, like a flamethrower.
Yeah, and I am going to unleash hell. Like Gladiator, like Russell Crowe, like Maximus Decimus Meridius, when he tells his general at the beginning of the movie, on my command, hell. And that is what I'm going to do. I'm going all like out overkill. With a flamethrower. I'm going to have this big old suit on, and it's just going to be fire. I might start a forest fire, but I'm going to kill some bees.
Are we indoor or outdoor? I don't even, you know what, don't even answer that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go get one of those paint masks that, take the fumes away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to go down to the fogger aisle near the grills. I'm going to go down to the fogger aisle, get one of those foggers, and get whatever kind of insect killer I can. I'm throwing it in the fogger. I'm throwing on the mask, and we're just going to work on 10,000 bees.
But it was me versus the bees, not you.
Yeah, we're just going to work.
He's helping you come up with a strategy.
Yeah, I'm helping you. I'm strategizing with you. All right?
So I think fire is the best way to kill insects like that.
Squid in a gas mask of some sort with two things coming off the side with bees just in every direction, and he's just swatting and fogging. I think it just sounds epic. So I'm going to give Squid the W on this one.
All right. Also, Allie, you know the Wyatt family when Bray Wyatt was around and he had that lantern and he walked to the ring down?
Yes.
I'm going to have the bug zapper equivalent of that in one hand and the flamethrower in the other.
I love it, man.
All right. Which Falcon is most likely to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jalen Walker or James Pierce Jr.? Mike, you take this one.
Man, you know what? I think the easy answer would be Jalen Walker. I'm going to zig when everybody else is going to zag. How about James Pierce just racking up sack numbers? Let's just envision the best possible in a scenario, and that's James Pierce coming in on third downs, being a third down specialist as a rookie, bringing in those fresh legs. I think it's a better version of Arnold Ebiketie right now. So, yeah, I think it's easy to say Jalen Walker. But if you can get James Pierce to get 8, 9, 10 sacks, he's going to run away with that award, Bo.
I actually 100% agree with you, Mike.
Woo!
And the reason why is similar to what you said. Jalen Walker, they could tell you how they're going to play Jalen Walker on the edge all you want.
Yeah.
He's going to play everywhere. I think it's going to be harder in some ways. He's going to make He could make a bigger impact. But to your point, if James Pierce comes in here and gets 8 to 12 sacks in that range – it'll be hard for them not to give him the Defensive Rookie of the Year award.
He gets 12 sacks, he'll have a statue. Like,
That's my point. It's like an automatic win. And I think he's going to be tasked with one thing. Hey, see ball, hit player with ball.
Yes.
That's it. And most of the time, to me, the way I perceive they're going to use him and what I've been keen on, it is going to be about pass rush situation. So I agree with Mike. Yeah.
All right, we're going to get to the next one. And which one Wednesday today is National Adopt a Shelter Pet Day? So would you rather have a dog that is trained to bring you an ice cold beer when you snap your fingers? And I'm talking, they can track you down at work, tailgate, concert. They'll bring you unlimited beers.
Okay.
Or, all right, Bo, we're going to you first on this one. Or would you rather have a dog trained to put your kids to sleep?
Oh, dude. No. Go ahead, Bo. Don't mess this up.
You know,
don't mess this up, man.
As much as I want a cold beer on command,
yes,
right.
As much as I do, I know that it's not the end of the world, and I don't always want one. But I know that every night these days, I am learning about putting a kid to sleep, and I know from Mike's torment that I've heard him come through in the mornings where so hard to get rich, dude. Yeah. Last night, Stevie, I'm gonna say the kid, because if I could train my dog to put my kid to sleep in the future, holy crap, the things I could accomplish, the things we could do. I mean, at that point, the dog's a babysitter.
Yeah.
And now I'm saving like I'm saving money every time we want to go out.
Allie,
The
first week that we were on air here, I heard my kids screaming from his room at like midnight to run in there and see him standing on top of his dresser.
Oh.
And we didn't even know how he got. Turns out we went back and watched the camera. He pulled out the drawers and climbed it like a ladder.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was terrified because he couldn't get down. And, of course, you know, he was 2 at the time. He's 4 and a half now. But nonetheless, it's the dog putting the kid to sleep. Absolute game changer. Thank you very much. We can move on.
All right. We're going to have to get you guys to disagree on something. So, if Ronald Acuna Jr. was coming back to the lineup today, which guy are you playing in left field, Eli White or Alex Verdugo?
Oh.
Mike, you first.
I got an answer. God, that's tough. I'm going to say it's Alex Verdugo. I think he fits at the top of the lineup. I think Eli White does a lot of things great, but Verdugo right now, the way he's been hitting, and I know Ronald will end up being leadoff hitter, but he's a left-handed bat. He does things differently. He's been scorching hot. He's a veteran. Give me Alex Verdugo in that situation, Bo.
Yeah, it's Verdugo all the way. And the question, Allie, I love the question, but we're asking the wrong question.
Uh-oh.
Because when an Acuna comes back, I'm not so sure that Michael Harris might not start some games on the bench.
Ooh.
With his .267 on-base percentage, and I might bring him in late in ball games as a defensive replacement.
Don't Jason Hayward this man.
Hold on now, hear me out. The problem for me is Eli White's not going to last. Okay, I love Eli White, but he's not going to hit. He's not going to have a .300 batting average and like a .350 on base percentage all season.
Yeah.
So as long as he's hot, I might ride that hand a little bit. Maybe put him in center because he's got some range. Yeah. And ride that out, and then when he cools off, put Michael Harris back in. Now, what that does to Michael Harris, that could be bad, and I know Grant would scold me for this, but I'm telling you, he's the guy dropping the ball offensively right now. I know he had a good night last night, but it's hard to put those other two guys on the bench with the spark they've been.
Let's try to get one more right here from Miss Allie before we got to go to break.
Last one, quick one. Which fast food mascot would you rather have a conversation with, Ronald McDonald or Colonel Sanders? Bo, you start.
Ask me that again.
Which fast food mascot would you rather have a conversation with, Ronald McDonald or Colonel Sanders?
Oh, the Colonel all the way. We can talk all kinds of things. Bourbon, fried chicken. How do you get that? How do you perfect that recipe?
Don't miss the opportunity for a good movie quote, because Colonel Sanders would say,
I'm too drunk to taste this chicken.
That'll do it for which one? Dylon, give me the trophy.
Nah. It's squid all day, baby.
What?
Squid all day today.
What champ in what world?
Squid all day today.
The champ is here.
You agreed
with Squid's takes more than Squid agreed with your takes.
Wow. Because it was just about who started.
I mean, not necessarily, but, you know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he had the best.
We're going to have to rewind.
Undisputed. Yeah. All-time wins leader.
Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Anyways, we have to go to break. We're so late. Look, wake up calls up next, 404-726-0929. The time that your parent or you as a parent overstepped, and which one of the Falcons rookies do you expect will be a starter other than Jalen Walker? Which one of the Falcons rookies will be a starter other than Jalen Walker? Get with us. Or maybe it's, you know, can Bo fight off 10,000 bees? I don't know. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 929 The Game.